first reading is from Lamentations, chapter 2, verses 1 to 13, and you can find it on page 824 of the Bibles. How the Lord has covered daughter Zion with the cloud of his anger. He has hurled down the splendor of Israel from heaven to earth. He has not remembered his footstool in the day of his anger. Without pity, the Lord has swallowed up all the dwellings of Jacob. In his wrath, he has torn down the strongholds of daughter Judah. He has brought her kingdom and its princes down to the ground in dishonor. In fierce anger, he has cut off every horn of Israel. He has withdrawn his right hand at the approach of the enemy. He has burned in Jacob like a flaming fire that consumes everything around it. Like an enemy, he has strung his bow. His right hand is ready. Like a foe, he has slain all who were pleasing to the eye. He has poured out his wrath like fire on the tent of daughter Zion. The Lord is like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all her palaces and destroyed her strongholds. He has multiplied mourning and lamentation for daughter Judah. He has laid waste his dwelling like a garden. He has destroyed his place of meeting. The Lord has made Zion forget her appointed festivals and her Sabbaths. In his fierce anger, he has spurned both king and priest. The Lord has rejected his altar and abandoned his sanctuary. He has given the walls of her palaces into the hands of the enemy. They have raised a shout in the house of the Lord, as on the day of an appointed festival. The Lord determined to tear down the wall around daughter Zion. He stretched out a measuring line and did not withhold his hand from destroying. He made ramparts and walls lament. Together they wasted away. Her gates have sunk into the ground. Their bars he has broken and destroyed. Her king and her princes are exiled among the nations. The law is no more, and her prophets no longer find visions from the Lord. The elders of daughter Zion sit on the ground in silence. They have sprinkled dust on their heads and put on sackcloth. The young women of Jerusalem have bowed their heads to the ground. My eyes fail from weeping. I am in torment within. My heart is poured out on the ground, because my people are destroyed, because children and infants faint in the streets of the city. They say to their mothers, "Where is bread and wine?" as they faint like the wounded in the streets of the city, as their lives ebb away in their mother's arms. What can I say for you? With what can I compare you, daughter Jerusalem? To what can I liken you, that I may comfort you, virgin daughter Zion? Your wound is as deep as the sea. Who can heal you? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from the letter of James, and you can find it in the New Testament on page 1213. So that's James, chapter 1, verses 19 to 27. Listening and doing. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. This is the word of the Lord.
So, Duncan, if I can invite you to come up to the front now. I just want to introduce properly Duncan Dyson to you. Now, I was trying to remember when we met. I think it was probably around about 2006 when you came along to St. Peter's, where we were as a family before I went for my ordination training. So I've known Duncan for a few years. Duncan, for a long time, has had a call to those who are oppressed and in need, particularly to children. That's right to say, isn't it? And has been involved with Toy Box since 91, and then in founding this organisation, Street Kids Direct, in 2001. And that's who we've been, Q and I, have been involved with since that time, raising money for them. And just enjoying seeing Duncan, flourish in that calling, which has had quite a high cost. It's really difficult sometimes, but great joy. I think we've seen that in Duncan. So I asked Duncan to come along today really to talk a bit about Street Kids Direct and also that call which he's had and which he's been obedient to, which God has called him into. So I think we're really privileged to hear Duncan this morning. I've heard him speak before and he's really inspirational. So thank you for coming this morning. Can I pray for you? So loving God, we thank you for Duncan. We thank you for everything that he is in you, for the person that you have made him to be, and for the obedient way in which he has gone forward in your calling of him into this work. So we ask your blessing upon him. We thank you for the time and energy he's put into coming to us this morning and the preparation that he's done. We pray that you pour out your blessings upon him as he gives out to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, and good morning, everybody. You can reply if you like. Good morning, everybody. Fantastic. It's over here. Well, what an introduction. Thank you very much, and can't really wait to hear myself speak now after that. But it's good to be here. I'm suffering with a bit of a coming back to the UK, where everyone's got colds, and travelling around every day. I've been in schools doing presentations and assemblies, and with children coughing all over me, it's had a little bit of an impact. We've got some photos to show you, but apparently the clicker doesn't work, so we're going to have a lot of fun today, because if you get bored with what I'm saying, just move on to the next photo, and then I'll try and keep up with you. So don't worry, we'll just hope that what I'm saying actually relates to the pictures there on the screen. I received these photos this week from our home in Honduras, the Manuelito Children's Home. And right in the middle there, with the boy with the yellow striped shirt, he was celebrating his 8th birthday. His name is Duncan, and as you can probably guess, shares my name. And then sent me this little video clip, which I wish I could have brought with you, just very short of him looking into someone's phone that sent it to me saying, love you, Dad, thanks very much for the cake. Not that I sent him the cake, but I must have told him that. But how to win over a child's heart when they're 8 by giving them a massive chocolate cake. Have you got the next one up? There you go, looking very happy there. It was 8 years ago when I was walking on the streets one night with a group of people to find a child living on the streets of Tegucigalpa, which is the capital of Honduras, lying in a box, just 15 days old, Little baby Duncan. He wasn't Duncan then, but when we rescued him out of that situation, to find him there in this cardboard box was, as you can imagine, quite distressing. And a miracle that he was still alive, because he'd been abandoned there quite a few hours earlier by his mother. And these two boys that live on the streets were looking after him. They didn't know what to do, but they just were guarding this box. And inside that box, we found little Duncan. And when we rescued him off the streets, we then managed to register him as an abandoned baby. And the judge decided to call him Duncan, poor little lad. So ever since then, he's grown up with an expectation that I'm his father in some way. You know, and even all the children that come into the home, if they don't have any connection with their parents in any way, they have that instinctiveness within them to call somebody nearby mum or dad. I never really thought that I would be working with children. Certainly that was never my dream, never my vision when I was a teenager, and never thought that I would be working in the two most violent countries in Latin America, Guatemala and Honduras. Honduras now being murder capital, the city San Pedro, murder capital one in the world. So what was it that changed a guy who was living in a place called Blackpool in the north of England? What was it that, as you can see, there's the answer already, look, call of God. What was it that changed me when I was living in Blackpool? I had a string of arrest warrants for burglary. My life was heading in a particular direction that I don't feel it's helpful to go into right here. But it was certainly far away from coming into a church building, that's for sure. And it was, as we see, the call of God. It was the call of God that broke into my life at that time, changed my life, and started to give me a real understanding of what it was like to be loved and what it was like to love. I'd never really understood that as a child. There was a huge amount of abuse in our family, and I can't remember anyone ever saying to me as a child or as a teenager, Duncan, I love you. You know, my parents were not like that. As I said, there was a huge amount of abuse in our family. And not that that led me down a path of crime, but it certainly led me to a road where I didn't think there was any way out. And all I could see was darkness. And I thought to myself, at the age of 21, living in this Blackpool, this place called Blackpool, living in a bedsit and thinking, okay, where do I go here? And I didn't see any way out. And the only way I could think of finishing things was to just end my life and move on. And it was in that moment of desperation that I called out to God. In that moment of feeling that nobody cared about me, nobody loved me, having no experience at all of being a Christian, that God just intervened in a quite miraculous way. And in this bedsit, as I was lying on my bed thinking about how I was going to end my life, I don't know why this thought came into my mind, what if there is a God? And as a result of that thinking process, I just said my first ever prayer. And when I prayed this prayer, I heard audible voice in this room say, Duncan, go to Tunbridge Wells, or go to Tunbridge Wells and seek me there. So I found Tunbridge Wells, I turned up, and I wish I could tell you the whole story. It was amazing how God spoke into my life. And since the day that I became a Christian, I have always tried to be obedient to that call, the call that God had on my life, to be a father to the fatherless, to reach out to children and young people that I would never have thought as a non-Christian working with children and young people. But God just put that on my heart. And all I had to do was to be obedient. Yeah, over the years, I think I have certainly felt at times I want to rebel against that. I want to do my own thing and fail God at times. But in that, God has been incredibly faithful. And more, I've learned about God's incredible grace and his mercy in my life to forgive me and to say, that's fine. You know, and as someone once said to me, it's like a child. When a child learns and, you know, to walk and they fall over, you don't criticize them, you just encourage them and they get up and they try again. And, you know, I feel my life with God is a little bit like that. Every time I fall over and make a bad mistake, God is like, okay, well, I'll pick you up and let's try again. And that's what it is like to have the call of God upon your life. And I can say to you with 100% certainty today that there is nothing like that feeling of exhilaration of knowing that God has called each one of us to do a specific task in glorifying him and in extending his kingdom. And I think for me, obedience leads me down the narrow path. It's the path where few people dare to tread. And it's a path that most of us, if we are honest, would love to go down if we would just take that step of faith and say, I'm prepared to do that. And then one day when I was watching a television documentary about street children in Guatemala, I was a youth pastor in a church in Amersham. And then when I saw that program about these children living on the streets, I felt that call of God on my life once again. And when I felt that call of God on my life once again, I knew very simply that I had to be obedient to it. You know, the verse that we had from James, I love that verse. You know, it talks about, it's very simple, and I'm the sort of very simple guy, and it just says, read God's word, be obedient to it. So read it and do it. And that's it. And when I first became a Christian in this church in Tunbridge Wells, where I'm going to be going after today, I'll be going down to the church in Tunbridge Wells where I became a Christian, I was amazed because I had no Christian understanding whatsoever. And I had never read a Bible. I'd never read a book from cover to cover at that point. So I had no educational experience in reading books. But someone gave me a Bible and I started reading it. And got a little bit bogged down in the Old Testament. When I got to the New Testament, I found it really simple because someone said, all you need to do is see what Jesus did and do it. And I started doing it. And it was quite interesting how some people in the church were like, what's he doing? You know, going into hospitals and praying for people. You know, going out on the streets on a Saturday and after work and going out to people with a Bible and saying, let me tell you about God and God's love. They were like, whoa, what's all this about? But if God has called us to be obedient, and we are obedient, we put that into effect in our lives, and we do what God has called us to do, there's no more reward that you can get. You will never feel the completeness that you can feel if you do not obey God. And all it is doing and being obedient to God, reading God's word and putting it into effect. We're going to show you some slides now of the work in Guatemala. This is the slide, the photograph that was taken when we first met. And at this point, we didn't know that inside that box was that little baby Duncan. But that's the photograph there that we'll show you. The next one was the very next day when I was 8 years ago. I've aged a lot in that time. But there is little Duncan. Who would think that a mother, in just sheer desperation with all the things that was happening in her life, could leave a precious little child like that in a cardboard box and walk away and never come back? And she never did come back. Working with street children is not the easiest of tasks, but as I said to you, when I was working and living in Amersham, comfortable Amersham, working with young people there, I was never really prepared for what I was going to find when I eventually moved out to Guatemala. Children who were being hunted down by police and security forces, tortured and killed on a very regular basis. For those who might already know me and follow my antics on Facebook, you know that, you know, it doesn't take long before there's another funeral to go to where we're burying another child. And we're finding children like this little boy, Jesus, just 18 months old, on the streets. That is where they live. And it's really hard to look at a photograph like that and to see that child and not feel some sense of compassion to reach out and do something about it. And so part of the work of Street Kids Direct is a volunteer-led charity. We have no staff, we have no office costs. which means that every penny that we raise goes directly out there. I have to raise my own support when I live out in Guatemala. But living out there now and working with the children on the streets, I can see how being obedient to God's call on my life starts to affect and change the lives and changes the outcomes of some of the poorest children in the world. These children, you see the three girls on the top, not the girl lying down horizontally, but the girl on top of her and the other two children. I sometimes show this photograph in school and I ask the children, you know, would you like to see their house? And they go, yeah. And I said, well, there it is. And they're expecting the slide would move on at this point. But there it is underneath. You see that shelf? That's their home. And the mum is a drug addict. And it's hard for me to go on the streets and play with those kids, to talk with them, to try and read stories with them, and then to leave them there on that shelf and go home and sleep in a bed. That's tough. But trying to be obedient to the sense of God's call upon my life means that children's lives will be affected. Those three girls are now in a different place rather than having to sleep on that shelf there. They're in nursery, they're going to school, and they're so encouraged by that. In fact, the youngest one was saying to me that she was showing me how excited she was that she had her first pair of shoes. She can walk with shoes. Her toes don't get cut now from walking around with glass and things like that on the streets. Okay, not so well. This is a photograph of our school, which is opposite the rubbish dump. We work in two countries, Guatemala and in Honduras. I live in Guatemala City, and in Honduras, where we go down there every single month, we have a school that we built opposite the city rubbish dump. A few years ago, when I first went there, there was nothing there at all. And there was a young pastor who was meeting small groups of children from the rubbish dump, rescuing them, like this boy here, taking them, and they were just meeting under a tree. And then slowly we started to get the money needed to make a change in the lives of those children. There's an amazing story of this boy here with his brother. His name is Jesus. He's 7 3/4, and 3/4 matter. Let me tell you that when you're 7. Jesus, and we gave him a camera to take photographs of his day on the rubbish dump. And we've turned that into a calendar. And we're hoping that if you're interested, you can go onto our website and order one of those. Well, I've got some in the car. But we're hoping that we'll raise enough money through the sale of these calendars to buy the land that he needs to build a home for his mum. That's what he wants to do at the age of 7, build a home for his mum. Pretty amazing. These are some of the children in that children's home I was talking about earlier, in the Manuelito home, as they started their school year at the beginning of the year. And now they're coming to the end of the school year in Guatemala and in Honduras as well. It's amazing that the children celebrate every single year passing one school grade to another. If they don't pass, they go back into the same school grade. But we've had 100% success with all the children that come into the home that we've taken off the streets, that are enjoying being in the children's home, that enjoying being loved, and we see 100% success in those children going on to graduate year by year, and now some have gone through university and now working back with us in the children's home. So being obedient to the call of God means that people's lives will be affected. We only need to read it, read God's word, and do it, to put it into effect. We don't need to worry about, you know, being squeaky clean in absolutely everything, because God has called us just to read his word and to do it, to put it into effect. As we do that, we have faith to believe that what we do and the way that we live our lives will impact people's lives all around us. Even nations will be changed. We've got a project coming up in just a couple of weeks' time called Radio Christmas. And it's going to be too far away on FM to hear from here, but you can listen on apps, you can listen on the internet if you have connections to internet at home. Do a search under Radio Christmas and join us from the 1st of December, where we've got young people, we've got children, we've got people of all ages, none of them are professional, having a go at running a radio station from the 1st to the 25th of December, from 6 in the morning till midnight. And so check out Radio Christmas and try and join in the fun. And we brought some Christmas cards at the back there if you're interested. There's designs of some of the children, photographs of the children there, dressing up like Father Christmas with the sort of hat on. So if that interests you, there are cards at the back there. But if you want to know a little bit more, there's the address there of our website. But going back to what I was saying at the beginning, how important it is for each of us to listen to the call of God on our lives. And the easiest thing, I think, is just being obedient to what God has called you to do. I don't know you guys. I don't know what God has put on your hearts to do. And I know maybe some of you are struggling with that. You don't know what God has called you to do. Or God might have prompted you to do something and you haven't yet done that. Maybe today is that opportunity for you to take that step of faith and say, I don't know how it's going to work out, because I didn't know when I went to Guatemala how I was going to live, where I was going to live, how I was going to be protected. But all I did was just take that step of faith, like Moses, you know, takes that step of faith and even water will part. And so take that step of faith, brothers and sisters, and see what exciting things that God can do and will do through your life in the coming weeks. Thank you very much. Let's just pray while we're sitting. Father God, we want to say thank you for the amazing privilege it is of knowing your love for us, knowing that you have a plan for our lives, knowing, Father God, that you have a call upon us to live a life that is different, to walk down a path that very few people walk down, but to know that that path is filled with blessing, that path is filled with power, that path is filled with miracles, and that path will lead to nations being changed. Help us to be obedient to your call. In Jesus' name, amen.